What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Culture of Safety podcast. Joe, how are
First
you
First of all, since when do you start the episode? That's my thing. Don't be trying to take my thing.
Honestly, I'm tired of hearing you start over and over.
I'm pretty sure everybody's tired of saying this.
I figured I'd switch it up today and I would start it off.
How you doing? I'm doing good. A little hectic around here, but it's not too bad.
A little hectic for you?
Yeah, it's starting. You know how as soon as winter goes away, right, we start ramping up for a lot of work. You usually have a lot more man hours coming in. And, of course, with more man hours comes more accidents. And so, you know, usually we try to get on top of those types of things. So, yeah, we're just trying to be proactive in the way that we're managing our programs. But, yeah, overall, it's just busy. I got a lot of stuff going on. A lot with the, you know, the Reddit whole thing. There's a lot of people hit me up on that. We've had a couple of emails come through.
We've had people email us saying, hey, why aren't you putting out episodes?
Yeah, we got yelled at. Like, hey, where's the episodes? Like, oops, I thought we posted that.
I think it was only like, we had like a 2-week break in between.
Yeah, it was like a week and a half, something like that. But yeah.
We already have another episode lined up to release. Yeah, and we have this one, so we're good.
Yeah, everything else is good though. Everything else is really good.
Are you guys going through a bunch of, I don't know, maybe it's just my organization, but you said ramping up, but are you having a bunch of turnover right now or anything like that?
Not so much as turnover. It's just we're having an increase in work. You know, now that you know the COVID restrictions are starting to kind of tapering off, and a lot of companies are starting to like, hey, we need laborers. And I know right now it's really a grab bag out there. There's not a lot of people that still want to work. There's still that like, hey, I'm gonna ride this until the end. And then there's people that are looking and seeing the future. They're like, I don't know how far I really want to ride this out, because if there's an opportunity now, it's best to jump on. And that's actually a good hint for our people. Is if you see an opportunity, they're opening up, you know, especially getting into safety. I know a lot of listeners ask us, well, how do I get in? How do I get in? Right now is a great time. There's a lot of opportunities for companies either getting entry or even mid-level positions, even management. I know a lot of companies are even looking for managers. Just because now they have the budget. They're like, okay, well, now we don't have the COVID restrictions. Now we don't have this. Now we don't have that. We can increase our workforce. We don't have to do the, you know, 2 people per a car and all the other crazy restrictions that we've had to do over the past year. So, you know, hopefully we can keep the train moving in that direction. Like, hey, just as long as we keep wearing our masks and all the other stuff, hopefully we can open up the economy back up and get it ramped up. And there's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But there's still a huge or a good sized portion of people that are still sitting on the benefits, you know. And mm-hmm. I think I know some people and they're like, no, I'm gonna ride it all the way to the end. I'm like, I don't know how good of a strategy that is, because all the good jobs are gonna be taken mm-hmm. by the time it runs out, and I'm probably sure they're gonna probably like yank it like a carpet, yank it out from underneath you, and you're gonna like, oh well, oh man, see, I should have picked up a job. I'm like, well, we told you, but you know. Some people learn the hard way.
Yeah, we have a lot of employees. I think there's a lot of people, like you said, I think everybody's ramping up. And what's happening is we're having a lot of employees getting offers, like much higher offers, like mm-hmm. really competitive offers.
It's a really good, you know,
yeah. And so it's tough
employees right market. Yeah.
So I'm doing like a lot of onboarding right now. And
those are always fun.
Making sure that, you know, we're hiring the right people and
yeah.
all that.
Hiring right and hiring the innovative, intelligent, hardworking individuals that make your team work.
Debatable.
Well, I mean, you need hardworking people because, I mean, you obviously do nothing. So, I mean, wow. At least you have a whole team of people doing stuff to make you look good, right?
Wow.
I mean, I know facts hurt, but I mean, come on now.
So what do we got for today's episode?
So, again, we've had a lot of people on Reddit. Hey, how do I make that next step? You know, they're either getting in as an entry level. Like I said, it's a great time for that right now. But a lot of people have been in the field for a couple of years. And again, with that wrapping up, they're looking for higher positions, higher pay, as you said. I'm trying to go to the advisor level. And that's what we want. We want to help you guys get the skills, get the knowledge, get the abilities to make that shift. And so what these next couple episodes are the tips, and we're going to name them differently, but they're going to be all pretty much the same tips on how to develop that growth to where, okay, now I qualify to make that advisor level, experience, education, knowledge, all that good stuff. And then of course, when we get into the next, you know, chapter of this podcast, it's going to be based on the mid-level, right? The advisor, not the technician. I forgot. There's like so many dang
it just really them. Like, I know that I think one time you brought up an episode that there's actually like, I don't know if I'm gonna say the right country, the Philippines Accords or something.
Yeah.
Where they kind of line out like the levels.
Yeah.
But But every company, I feel like, does it differently. So we'll just call it the mid-level.
Well, I always say mid-level. I always try to give it a name like advisor.
Yeah.
Because I always go technician, advisor, manager. At the technician level, I always think like you can go in there and you can understand and kind of figure out, diagnose. Hey, this is probably what's wrong.
Yeah.
As the advisor, you can look at things. Okay, well, this is the course of action that we should take.
Mm-hmm.
And then the manager, it's a completely different set of skills. Like, okay, no longer are you managing those. You're managing the people that
manage
those.
Normally a manager has people that work for them as like a team or something.
Right. Well, that's,
but I've also heard like safety specialist. I've also heard safety like.
No, my favorite HR/safety specialist. You're like, like, so how much of that is safety? Well, about 10%. So why don't you just put HR, mm-hmm. you know? And I know a lot of people that have done that where they are HR/safety people. And again, the majority of it is HR rather than safety. But I mean, you can cut it 18 different ways. I know some people, like you said, they're an HR manager, but they don't really manage. They're just a technician. So like you said, it just depends on how the company gets you. But in the grand scale of things, we're talking about entry level as people that are just getting their foot in the door. Mm-hmm. They have just the basics. They're just observe and report. It would kind of be like the best way I can kind of explain it. And then the next one, you're like, okay, well, I saw it. I know what to do to correct it. Okay, cool. And then as a manager, you're no longer responsible for that. You're making responsible for, hey, I need to make sure that my people have that ability. Of course, we're talking about hiring. And then not just that, but making them accountable and providing that direction and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but one thing I kind of wanted to point out was, this is probably just my opinion, but don't get too hung up on
up in the weeds, on the titles.
Because there's some people that are like, oh, I've been doing this for 3 years. I can't be called a technician anymore. I have 3 years of experience.
Yeah.
Okay, like, you're probably kind of right. But also, like, just look at what your pay is. Yeah. It's just a title, man. Like, titles are cool and they have some value, but you got to weigh everything
Well, that's
out.
Why I like the Singapore courts, not the Philippine courts.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
that's why I like that, because then you can kind of gauge. And, of course, we talked about it on the other episodes. There's a couple of different ones that you can kind of gauge yourself on. The actual title, it doesn't matter. You could be like safety god or safety genius, you know, like the Apple, you know, you'd be like a safety genius.
You know, there's other, I think it's Little Caesars now. They call them pizza geniuses. They're trying to take that.
Yeah, the Apple thing. Oh, yeah, we're pizza genius. I'm like, have you tasted your pizza?
Little Caesars?
It's not bad.
Little Caesars?
It's getting better.
That $6 cardboard?
Okay, first of all, the $6 cardboard is okay, but have you ever the Supermost Bestest cardboard?
Which is what?
They add more pepperoni and a little bit better cheese. They've gotten better over the years.
I'll tell you this, for $6, it's pretty dang good deal.
I'm just saying, hey, free pizza.
Would I rather
pay
$9 and get a pizza three times the size of Costco? Probably.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, don't get me wrong about Costco pizza. Yeah. But yeah, again, the getting into the weeds, I'm not a technician. I'm a this. I don't feel like that. I'm like, okay, cool. But, you know, is it because you feel that way? Are you having some kind of grandiose, you know, complex?
Yeah.
Or are you like, again, using something that's kind of established, like, oh, well, you know what? Yeah. I am a technician. Maybe I need to work on these skills a little bit better to get that next level. And again, that's why we're here, to help you guys get to that next level so you can make more money. That's the whole purpose, right? Nobody wants to be a technician for 40 years. I said purpose. It just sounded like porpoise.
He said the whole porpoise.
Hey, speaking of which, I think, have you seen that new beer that came out? It's called Safety Porpoise. Maybe that's the reason why I said porpoise. Yeah. You look at that.
Safety Porpoise?
It's called Safety Porpoise. It's a beer. Yes. I'm super excited.
Why the word safety in it?
I don't know. They have like dolphins with hard hats on it. No. It just came out. It was like a collab.
Way.
Yeah. So I saw it the other day. I'm like, I'm going to go buy some.
Safety Porpoise's IPA.
Yes, sir. See, it looks good.
What?
Yeah. Stick with me, kid. I'll teach you some things.
And it has some pretty good ratings.
Hey, maybe next episode we'll drink some in front of everybody and we'll tell them about it. Wait, can we drink in podcasts? Is that illegal?
Mm-hmm.
Is illegal?
No. Is it illegal? No. I don't know where you get this from, but
I don't know. I'm going to buy it though.
Goliath Brewing Company.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up afterwards. I just want to see if it's actually safety related. Like why they came
up
with the name.
I doubt it, but I mean, who cares?
They put a hard hat on the mascot though.
On a dolphin. Yeah. I don't know.
Like why, like how'd they get to that name?
I'm just really interested. The dolphin, or should I say porpoise? I should say, because there's a difference.
Yeah. It's definitely a
porpoise. It's obviously a porpoise. Is it like at the advisor level or is it more like a technician? Like, are we talking about management here? Like, is this a safety tech porpoise or I'm not sure. Maybe we'll have to reach out to them and ask them, but no.
they're wearing a safety vest too.
I told you.
The
yeah.
whole can is like a, it's like a yellow, like a danger sign or not.
Yeah, it's like a, yeah, like a hazardous, like a caution yellow.
Yep. And then it has like a caution statement below, but it's actually like, I'm going to buy
a couple of cases and I'm going to keep like three or four of them just for that event. So yeah, maybe we'll crack one here open and we'll tell everybody.
That's pretty cool, dude. I'm going to see if I can find some for us too.
Do you think if we drank and drive while having that, do you think the police would pull us over? Like, look, but I was doing it safely.
No, that's a terrible
no?
idea.
Is that a bad idea no yes. matter what? Okay. Anyway, back to our point. What are some tips that you typically, I'm sure you've had this plenty of times. You have, you know, a person who's been working in the field, you know, 2-3 years, maybe even after a year, after they've gotten decent at their job. They feel comfortable that they can go out and do the work and all this other stuff. Like, what are some tips that you usually give them to say, okay, well, I know that we're looking for an advisor in the next 8 months. You know, for me, you know, we've already talked about this. When I have field level people, actual people that aren't in safety, I always tell them, like, take these classes, do this stuff so you can get into safety, right? Not just that, but okay, now that you're in safety, these are the things that you need to do to get to the next level. Depends on the company. Like, you know, where the metrics are going to push you. I've known some companies where you go straight from technician to manager. I know some places, you know, it just depends. It's just the change in mindset and the change of skills that we're more after, right? Like you said, one company can cut the cookie one way and the other companies can cut it a different way. One of the best things that I've told my people is that they need to stop not taking opportunities. I'll give you a perfect example. I had, it was actually just before one of the oil fields, we started having, you know, troubles again. And we were doing a man lift training, right? So we had, I don't know, 30 guys. And I think two of them were like, I don't want this class. And a lot of them were complaining. And I get it. They were saying, you know, why am I going to take this class and become more valuable to the company? And I don't even get any more pay. You know, and they were just, you know, I'm not going to take the class because I'm not getting paid for it. And I looked them in the eye and I said, well, yes, I get that you're not getting any more pay for this. True. But who's to say that another company wouldn't pay you mm-hmm. more for it? You know, and I think that's kind of the message that I hit home is that, yeah, the employer that you have may not recognize the skills and abilities and stuff that they have, that you have. But who's to say that another company won't? I mean, I've known tons of companies that, you know, like, oh, yeah, your CHST does nothing here. And then you go to another company. Oh, wow, you have a CHST. And they're like, wow, that's awesome. Right. And they'll pay you more for that. Mm. So it just depends on what company. Who's to say that you're going to stay at the same company for the rest of your life, especially if they're not going to recognize the talents and your abilities? Get them anyway.
100%. I think you're kind of hitting on what I wanted to hit on, which was, because I feel like we've done a really good job, right? We've talked about certs, we've talked about education, we talked about growing on the safety side of things, but really to go to the next level, like we've also talked about, it comes down to a lot to your attitude.
Yeah.
It comes down to your work ethic.
Your mindset.
Your mindset. And right now, what you were talking about, nothing bugs me more than when employees are just like, they have that attitude. They're like, why should I go do this if the company's not going to reimburse me for it? Well, guess what? Like when I got my EMT, I didn't even tell my company I was doing it. I just got it.
First of all.
When I got licensed as an EMT, nationally registered.
Wow.
Second, when I took my first classes at Cal State, again, I wasn't even in a safety position yet. I was still in the field just trying to get some education so that I can move up there. And then they didn't give me a raise because I did that. They didn't reimburse me for that. Like, if your company does that,
great.
Awesome, man. Heck, like, you're in a really good company. If your company doesn't do that, don't call Joe.
Yeah.
If your company doesn't do that, then do it for yourself. Like, get out there, make yourself better. And if your company doesn't see the value that you're adding to yourself, then move on. Like, go find another company.
But 100%.
Don't have the attitude that because they're not doing it for you or you're not getting something immediately for it, that it's not valuable. Like, 100%. Make yourself more valuable. Do it for yourself.
Invest in yourself. You know, that's what we're all about on the show, is investing in yourself and becoming a better safety professional, because the more you know, the better that you can be. And then, you know, again, I love pushing this button, and you know I do, Matt, is that get those leadership skills, right? Start, because the higher you get in an organization, the more critical your leadership skills are, because a poor leader at the top of a mountain will completely derail a large amount of people. You can have, you know, infighting and all this other stuff. So building those leadership skills in the beginning will pay its dividends down the road when you do become a manager. They're going to look at you and go, wow, this guy really knows how to manage very well. Why? Because he's a good quality leader. Mm-hmm. You know, people would rather follow a quality leader than a bad manager. Exactly. I mean, yeah, a manager, you're just holding people accountable. It's just how do you do that?
Maybe look around your company and try to identify, like, who is it in your company that's very highly regarded?
Yeah.
And then use them, even if they're not safety, like, especially if they're not safety, figure out who's highly regarded. And then use them as like your kind of like your mentor if you can.
Yeah.
And try to figure out what they're doing that's making it better. Because I would much rather have a safety guy that's less knowledgeable in safety, but has those skills, that those other skills, like that mindset, that attitude. I'll take them any day over somebody that's
easily trained.
Yeah, any day over somebody that has a ton of safety knowledge.
Like a master's in an ASP. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
But no, I mean, I 100% agree that I think that's a really good tip. I want our listeners to always remember that if you sit or if you hang around a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. You are the people that you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with that type of person, right, that's highly regarded, that has good leadership, that's really good at safety, stick by them. Try to hang out with them whenever you can on the weekends or the weekdays, or, you know, try to find any opportunity to be around them and glean information, because a lot of those types of people, they give that information out for free. Like, oh, hey, oh, yeah. Ask them questions. Get familiar with them, because then they become your mentor and they can show you the path. Hey, look at no. I think for me, being a mentor, it's kind of like getting rid of all of the roadblocks. You know, as you and myself. Have gone through our career, we've run into things like, oh man, I wasted a lot of time doing this, or this was a hard lesson learned, where they can give you the tips on how to avoid those and you can learn from their mistakes. Oh yeah, I made a mistake doing this one time. This is what I would advise you to do. Don't do that, do this. You know, and I've seen mentors give that type of advice and it really helps people grow and learn, because rather than them making the mistake and, oh, okay, I learned it. No, they teach them, right? You know, it's one of those things that I've seen recently, especially in the EMS world. When you become a preceptor as an EMT or a paramedic, you kind of like watch over the new people and kind of make sure they're doing the right things. If you have a preceptor that's a big jerk, a lot of times that kind of trickles down, you know, and then until eventually somebody goes, you know what? I don't think that's effective. It didn't really work for me. I want to teach them how to be a good medic EMT. Same thing with safety. If you're going to be the mentor or the mentee, show them the right path. They'll be like, well, they were a jerk to me when I was in safety and I had to do all the crappy work. I'm like, no, hey, let me show you how to avoid all the hardships, how to learn from them without having to deal with all the drama and stress of having to actually go out and manage these types of incidences.
That's also another mindset. I don't know if you've seen this before that I've seen in that mid-level that we're kind of talking about, mm-hmm. where they had to go through and they had to struggle for 3 or 4 years and learn all this stuff and fail. And so then they feel like anybody Everybody that's below them it. Has to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And that's not the right mindset, man. No. Like, if I can have somebody move up 5 times faster than I did or twice as fast as I did, like,
yeah,
then I feel like I succeeded, because then I'm helping somebody skip ahead.
You not just helped yourself, you've helped the person, and you've also helped the company, because at the end of the day, that's what safety is about. It's about growth. It's about helping people keep other people safe. What good is this information? I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast. What good is this information if I keep it to myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hot sucker. I remember I had to deal with that. Yeah, I was there by myself. And yeah, you're going to have to figure it out on your own. Like, that doesn't serve the purpose. You know, trial by fire really doesn't help people when they come out burned.
Kind of. Now, no. I have used in some circumstances my safety guys. I'm like, all right, this one, I'm not going to help you with this specific one, because I want you to, like,
it's understand like a controlled the process.
Experiment. Yeah.
Right. It's not. It's like, it's,
you're yeah. on your own on this one. Don't come to me with help. Figure it out. Do it. And then we'll talk about it afterwards and I'll give you some advice. Yes. We'll talk about.
But it's not like a trial by fire where people's but lives it's not, are hey, in danger.
For the next yeah. 3 years, you're going to have to sink or swim, because that's what I had to do.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, that's the mentality that you see often in EMS Sometimes. And yeah. and in safety, is that it's like, oh, like you said, sink or swim. Like, hey, you're calling the shots, go ahead, go do it. And then you have this big pile and you know, they're laughing, mm-hmm. not necessarily actually like out loud laughing, but they're like, ha, yeah, I remember I had to struggle. Yeah, I'm like, dude, you're watching this poor guy drown. Like, why not help him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, trial by fire. I mean, giving a controlled experiment, like you said, I think that's a great opportunity to help them learn and be like a catalyst to push them up to the next level, versus like, hey, let me just throw you to the sharks. Let's see if you can handle it.
Unless they have lasers.
Unless they have lasers on their heads. Because I have seen certain individuals, some of my good colleagues, have that happen. They were brand new. they get thrown to the sharks and they just get gobbled, even by other safety professionals.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I've had one guy go out to do a training and then another guy come in and just take over the training. And we're like, and of course I talked to my manager, that was a bad move. Why did you send the tech? This guy's been in safety, you know, less than a year, and you're going to put him up against this guy who we know is full of it. He's one of those guys that he talks highly about himself, doesn't have any degrees, no certifications, and nothing, you know, to do with safety at all. And this guy, this poor guy just got, you know, I felt bad. I apologized. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry I wasn't there. You know, I was understanding that this is how it was going to get controlled. We weren't supposed to involve you. And that was a bad move on our part. And I apologize for him for us throwing him like that, because I'm sure it was super awkward in front of him. I know I had talked to the whole crew, and they're like, yeah, dude, it was pretty bad. Like, he kind of tossed him around like a rag doll. I'm like, man, you know, that's the kind of thing that I don't like, especially exposing new guys to those types of people. Because even though I can warn you, like, hey, watch out for this person because he's known to stab you in the back and do X, Y, Z, you know, some people, they're going to have to experience it that firsthand. And it's not a good way to, you know, like, oh, is this what my future is going to be look like? You know, it puts a bad taste in everybody's mouth, and nobody likes to look to the future and like, this is what safety is. This is not fun. You know, and it's going to dissuade them from continuing on and doing what we want them to do, is get better and grow and be able to protect people. It's going to be like, okay, well, I'll find a different path. And that was a good candidate to, you know, make the world a better place. So, yeah, definitely learn how to do that very well. Learn how to make that transition into, I'm trying to become a better mentor or a mentee. Surround yourself by good quality people. You know, I've seen it both ways, where you put, you know, a bad apple amongst a bunch of good eggs, and you put a good egg in the bad apple. I mean, we read about it in our books, you know, the culture code. You remember reading the culture code? They talk about that specifically, where they had, you know, these competing naval during the SEALs. Yeah. The competing teams, and they had one strong leader in one team.
And then they switched.
And
them.
They had a bad egg on the other one, and they switched. And dude, it was completely, they started killing it. And
the team that was losing, that I thought it was impossible to win, is now the team that's winning. And the team that was winning, that was killing everybody, is
now losing. Yeah.
From one person switching.
Because it was just one person. So it was the leader from there.
Yeah.
They dropped him from being a leader, I believe. And then they put another guy as a leader. Mm-hmm. So they didn't become the worst, but they kind of knocked back. Yeah. From, I think it was like from first to the first.
Yeah, that's what it was.
First to like third,
dude,
something like that.
You're definitely having some pronunciation.
Yeah. It's
today.
Been a long, it's been a long day. It's been a long couple of weeks. It has been, so fresh off the injuries. And
that is a good book, though. Which one was that?
Culture
one?
Code.
That was the Culture Code?
Yeah, Culture. Okay. I don't remember.
I remember reading that.
It was, yeah, it was
said.
A really great example. I was like, well, yeah, 100%. If you have a good quality, they're going to bring the team up. And if you have, and I don't like to say the word bad egg, because I don't think there's bad in everybody. I think everybody has a good opportunity to change their existence in their life. You know, it just takes maybe a change of heart. But I feel like a bad egg is just somebody who doesn't believe in the right values that are going to benefit other people. So, you know, the selfish people, the people that we talked about earlier, that, you know, it's all about me, about, you know, they're very, you know, chauvinistic and puffing out their chest and look at me, I'm the manager, or I'm this type of person, you know, I'm the director. Those people that kind of puff their chest out typically don't really help other people. They're all about themselves, you know, those self-centered, if you kind of get that, you know, type of mentality.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they're bad people. It's just that they're self-centered, and they need to learn that it's a teamwork. It's we, not me. Mm-hmm. And so getting them to change that mindset can be very difficult. So sometimes you got to manage them out. Sorry to say it, but, you know, we'll talk about that in the manager level, that sometimes, you know, you can sit there and you can give them all the opportunities. You can give them the moral support. You can give them all the tools. You can say, hey, check this out. We're trying to work with you. But some people it's just not for them. Sometimes the requirements of the job can be too hard for them, or it's too high. It happens.
100%.
So.
Dang, I had another point I was going to make right now. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. So another safety tip that I wanted to give that's non-safety like related is.
Helicopters.
Yes. It is that make sure that your intentions are known. So like when I have a team, right? I have a team of safety people. If I have a safety guy that's just doing his job every day, always turning all this stuff in, like, I for sure he's a like
reliable
person, right? But if that's it, they're never talking to me or communicating with me outside of me like communicating with them, I'm assuming they're good, they're happy, like that's where they want to be, They're not like trying to go and do more right now.
And that's a bad manager right there, guys.
That's not quite a bad manager. Like, of course, I'm doing my goal reviews with them and stuff like that. But like, it's unfortunate. But in the real world, just like that saying always says, is like the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yes, sir.
Like, it's unfortunate, but that's just how the world works.
Sometimes.
Like, sometimes it's like that. So make sure that if you want to move up, that it is known within your company that, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. And you talk to whoever it is that's your supervisor, your manager, and you guys know, like, this is what I need to accomplish so that you feel like I'm ready to move up to that next level.
I would say that's actually really good advice. I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. As a manager, that is our job. We should know within leadership, right? We should know all about our employees, what they're doing.
But depending on the size of the team, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it could be massive or completely small, or you can be in completely different locations. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. But yeah, I also agree with that too, is if you're getting passed up. And I mean, we're not gonna get into the weeds about, you know, discrimination and oh, they don't like me and personality. We are not gonna dive into that deep end of the pool. We're mostly saying like, hey, I'm getting passed up, I have this, I have that, but does management know? Have you been showing them what you've been doing? Hey, look, I thought this was a good idea, you know, kind of get in front of them. Like you said, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? If you're out in front of them and you're showing them the work that you're doing, hey, look at all this, you're going to be at notice more. Oh, wow, this person's doing a lot of really good work. That's really interesting. So what's your whole goal with this? Oh, I want to make it to that advisor level. You know, I want to make that $4 or $5 and bump in pay. I mean, of course, we're not going to talk about pay ranges here, but, you know, typically if you go from that smaller, less responsible, you're going to get to that mid-level. You're going to get a good quality bump in pay. You know, hopefully. Depending on where you work, you can get a work truck, a lot of more benefits. Typically, you're going to be more salary, right? You're going to get the better benefits package.
It just all depends on your company.
Of course. We can't talk for every company, but on the average, I would say
for sure you should
mostly
get
your techs
more
are
responsibility,
mostly
our more
salary,
pay.
Yeah, or hourly, I mean. So, yeah, it's a really good tip to be always talk with your managers, always talk with them and let them know like, hey, I want to be the guy. I want to be the person that you can rely on. I want to make sure that you see that my growth. You see this. Yeah. Let them know, hey, yeah, I'm going to school. I'm doing this. Hey, exactly. I participate in the Culture of Safety podcast. I was talking with those guys all the time. A little shameless plug. Leave me alone, Matt.
100%.
I was on Reddit talking to Joe.
It is the manager's responsibility to do that, but... Like, don't just wait for them.
Yeah, don't wait for
other
people's success. Yeah, don't wait for them to promote your success.
Hold on. I'm going to put a little caveat to this. Make sure that you do everything with balance, please. Like, as a manager, I want to know, but also don't come to me every single day and be like, why am I not this yet?
Hey, Matt, look, hey, I clean the floors. I deserve to be a manager.
Yeah, we got to keep balance in everything that we do.
Oh, I'll give you the greatest advice.
That I ever gave you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what do I need a bachelor's for? That's a fake degree. Yeah, Matt. My favorite. Hey guys, my favorite advice. Go to episode 3 or 4. It's just a piece of paper, guys.
It's a piece of paper that helps you get your foot in the door.
Yes.
Hey, that's not just my opinion. Like that is, it's becoming more and more popular that higher education is kind of.
It's becoming. I mean, look, we're in Bakersfield and we're about 5 to 6 years behind. You know, most metropolitan areas, and depending on where you're at, most metropolitan areas require all these degrees. You know, it's very now few and far between, not rare, but few and far between of these companies that will take you at a manager's or a higher level without a degree. Back in the day, it was fine. But, you know, if I were to go to like, you know, LA, I would doubt there'd be a lot of real good quality jobs with companies. I mean, small mom pops, don't get me wrong, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they can't afford that. But, you know, if you want to go Fortune 500 company, good luck.
Yeah.
They won't even look at you.
And high level, like corporate.
Oh, yeah.
At the corporate level.
Even at the lower level now, actually.
But I disagree in a way because I think it's going to start to change the other direction. You're seeing a lot of these really big tech companies that don't care about degrees anymore.
Yeah, but that's tech. They don't have safety people in tech. Really, bro?
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Hello, like Amazon just has the largest.
First of all, that's not a tech company. That's a distribution company.
Okay, but they also have the largest online store.
So they're having safety techs make sure that there's a security?
No, but I'm saying they have the largest safety team in the United States.
You're a safety team.
I'm pretty sure Google has a safety team. In fact, I know Google. Facebook, one of my buddies just went through a freaking 3-month interview process for Facebook.
Was he a safety guy though?
Yeah, safety guy.
making sure that they don't get like carpal tunnel or
like, no, but like all their servers and everything are all located in these massive like facilities, and they have a bunch of coders and stuff in there, and somebody has to be safety for all those.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they have like somebody that handles all that, but I mean, it's not like I'm talking about like just more general industry. Like, I mean, like Amazon's a great example because they actually have workers. Like it's yeah. distribution. Like they're not working on like the servers. They're like getting vehicles and fleet mm-hmm. management, especially now. I know that they're doing the whole solar thing. They're putting all the solar panels on the cars and everything's electric. Yeah. That needs safety. And again, they're going to, those places, even for the technician level, I know that they require a degree.
They require or recommend?
No. Well, I don't know. I'm not a hiring manager there, but I mean, I think I saw, I'm trying to remember because it's been a while back, but I know that they call them WHS, warehouse safety tech or something like that. I believe they do. I think they require at least an associate's. Don't quote me on that.
I believe you.
But
I think in the safety realm right now, it is like you're gonna see it almost on every job posting.
You're gonna see it. You're gonna see a lot. You're gonna see it for, I would say Fortune 500. And I don't mean just the ones in the 500, but I'm talking about large companies that are, you know, they are established. Don't get me wrong, mom and pops are cool, but at the end of the day,
that's the place to be.
Mom and pops are a lot harder to manage because you're fighting a lot.
Not necessarily. It all depends on.
I mean, company. Of course, it depends on culture.
Big corporations and stuff like that. Are really hard to manage because you can't do anything without 1,000
requisitions and yeah, having to write papers
applications and all yeah. this crap.
But on the other side, if you have a smaller mom and pop, they're like, yeah, we don't have the budget for that, so we don't care.
Not necessarily.
Or, yeah, not always.
Not always. It could be either way on both sides.
But really. I'm talking like less than like 50 people.
That's a really small mom.
What's a small mom and pop?
They probably won't even have a safety guy.
If you're over 50, well, it just depends, I guess.
To me, mom and pop is like less than 1,000.
Wow. You know that's like big business, right? I think over 500 is considered.
Okay, then maybe less than 500.
Okay. So small business, quote unquote.
Because I've worked for companies that are like 500-600 people, and they're not like. No one's calling them a large corporation.
Well, I mean, they're not a large corporation because we're talking about thousands of people. Yeah. But I mean, this we got way into the weeds on business. But no, I think a mom pop is less than 50, maybe even less than 100. Well, because that's mom pop. You know, you typically don't have an established company. Yeah, you have a manager. Usually that manager will oversee like most of the operations. It's not like like divisioned out where, mm-hmm. you know, some of these larger companies that make millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's more like, okay, well, the owners are still involved every day. They're like going out to do the work.
Okay, actually, I think that's a good definition.
That's a mom pop to me.
Mom pop, even though that's a terrible like name. Because
yeah.
But it means like the owners are actively in are the day-to-day
actively
business.
Like they're going and actually doing work.
I like that.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah, like we're like, again, the 500, 600, like they're there, but they're not like actively going out to the jobs.
Publicly traded companies and stuff.
Where, yeah. Yeah, that's what I call a corporation. But anyway, back to the actual topic. It's really important for us just to be able to, you know, identify when we need to have that type of conversation. Hey, you know what? I've noticed that you guys are looking. Hey, I always get a pulse on the company. Like, hey, I see that, you know, we're growing. Is there a possibility of moving up? Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I've been doing this or I want to do that or I want to give your intentions out there because then they'll see like, oh, maybe this is the guy I need to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
You know, versus the guy that's going to be kissing his butt, like you said, every single day. But again, back to my greatest piece of advice. And from my understanding, it comes from Ted Turner. It's early to bed, early to rise, work like hell and advertise.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that before.
Yeah. And it's a great, and you know, if you think about it, yeah, early to bed, right? Because that's a good mantra to have. That's when most production happens is early in the morning. The first 2 hours are golden hour. Don't waste it on your phone. I mean, there's 1,000 different tips we can talk about that. But the first 2 hours are your golden hours of the day. Write your ideas down and get them done and whatever. And then advertise. Tell them, hey, look, I've been doing these great things. Hey, these are some things that I want to do. Or, hey, I've noticed problems in this area, you know. Maybe that can be a springboard. Hey, that's an area that I'm lacking in. That's one of the things that I did is I was lacking in heavy equipment. Yeah, I've worked with backhoes, but I've never dealt with like a motor grader. I've never dealt with, you know, a front loader or various types. Yeah, I mean, there's many types of heavy equipment. And I had mentioned to my manager, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm really good at what I'm doing and I feel solid. I enjoy the work. I'm not saying that I don't, but can I communicate with the other safety advisor who's over that? Can I kind of like tag along with him and he can kind of show me how to do that? When it ended up happening, actually, is I actually got that absolved into my department of oversight. So not longer was I over one division, I was over well, it was actually three, but the heavy equipment was over under me. And it was, I don't know if it was because I did that or it just kind of just happened out. But what ended up happening is because I put that time in to learn the culture, the people, the equipment, all that kind of stuff, I got better. And then when I was assigned to it, I, you know, I didn't have the struggle. I was ready to go. So sometimes that can be very beneficial. Just you asking, hey, can I do this project? Or, hey, I've always been interested in, you know, industrial hygiene is a big one that most people don't have experience. I see that we have a project. Can I get tied onto that? You know, can I just like observe, or can I kind of like, you know, piggyback on the person that's handling it? You know, maybe an advisor. Can I tag along with you, the manager, when you do this project so I can learn from it? Oh yeah, that's a great idea. It builds those skills and it shows your manager like, hey, they want to move up. That's what I'm interested in, you know?
I'm glad you mentioned IH because that brings me to my last point that I wanted to make.
Yes.
Which was when I first started in safety.
So when you're a safety tech, you should go straight for your IH.
No.
No.
But okay. When I first started in safety, like it's kind of like what we talk about a lot, right? We're out in the field, or for us, it's out in the field. We're auditing.
Right.
We're talking with employees. We're trying to make a change there, right? And I kind of just rolled everything up into that was what safety is. And it wasn't until like years later when I became a part of like a global company that I saw that you can take a piece of safety, or what I would consider safety at the time, and you can make a career out of that. Like you can start from the beginning and plan your career out to be a completely whatever track you want. There's, like you said, there's IH, there's environmental, there's training, there's DOT, there's hazardous waste. Like there's so many different things.
Materials management, like you said, DOT transportation, FMMCA.
So much stuff. And your company, that might all be lumped up into one person.
It could be.
But if 100%. You really like let's say you really like IH, you can focus on IH, get your certs, learn about it. And yeah. I guarantee you there's companies where there is dedicated IH people. And usually they're going to be bigger corporations like talked about.
That's not completely true.
Not completely true.
I know a lot of small mom pops mm-hmm. where that's what they specialize. The owner is an IH. And everybody works underneath them. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunity. And actually, we had a person on Reddit actually talk about that, I believe today, actually. And I guess we need to talk about burnout maybe in the next couple of episodes. But I invited him like, hey, I want to talk to you about why you feel burnout. I mean, I told him all these things that you told me. Like, hey, these are all the other fields, risk management and this and this and this. There's a lot in the field that you don't have to be just safety. You can actually get outside of safety and still have that safety orientation. Project management. You can be a project manager and use your safety knowledge to help prevent injuries from happening. Like, hey, you know what? We notice that this is going to happen. We need to make a change here. Why? Because if we have an injury, that's going to put us back 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's a, you know, let's say it's an 8-9 month project, those, you know, 3 or 4 weeks could mean, you know, the next package you get may not be, you know, awarded to you.
100%.
Or you can go over budget. And there's a lot of different things. So
you could take that project management over and that safety over to lean. And
yeah, and that was another good one. Lean. Yeah. 100%. I know a lot of people just, again, they only have their mind, I want to be a safety person. Safety person. You can be safety minded anywhere. You know, look at the opportunities in your area. It's hard. We can't sit there and give you advice for every single area, every location, every metropolitan, every rural area out in the United States or wherever you're at. Go out there and look, search up these terms, industrial hygiene or, you know, project manager or whatever. You can literally take your safety knowledge, education and mindset anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said, at the end of the day, we're loss prevention. Right. We're trying to prevent losses to both the company, to the client overall. Right. Because even though we have insurance, eventually there's going to be, you know, the hidden costs. Well, we had to take some guy out of the field to have him go to the doctor and have him do this. And then we had to pay the doctor and we had to do this. There's a lot of production that and quality that aren't controlled when we have some type of a loss event. Mm-hmm. So, again, you can go into many different fields.
Yeah.
Safety. You can even get into HR. Again, we talked about that earlier, HR/safety. You know, it just depends on what you feel is available to you. So, and even then, you don't have to have, you know, you don't have to have that company as your final company. It could just be like, hey, I'm going in just to get the experience. Mm-hmm. Because I would say, you know, I think we've kind of failed our entry level. But I feel like that goes into the advisor mid-level is we deal with a lot of HR problems, you know, and maybe that's something we'll put on the tab. It's like, hey, we need to give you guys some basic intros to HR, HIPAA. A lot of this stuff actually ties into the work we do because they tell us things and we're like, I have to act on it.
The two people I work most with in my safety career has been HR.
Yep.
And the operations manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But like, I'm constantly in the ops manager and the HR manager's like offices, or we're in meetings together all the time, because we all like everything that we do affects each other.
Somehow. Yeah, 100%. 100%. If you have an ops person in the wrong direction, or they handle things wrong, it goes into HR.
Or if you have an incident in operations, it's going to go to HR. Part of it's going to go to HR, and part of it's going to go to the safety department, most likely, depending on how your company's set up.
Right, it depends on how set up. But for the most part, you have to get them all involved. So 100%, just being able to, you know, understand that you need a large set of skills. I've seen it. I know a lot of people that have made that transition from a tech to a manager, and I know they struggle. And it's just, I mean, it just depends on how you look at life, of course.
And I'm saying, just to play a little bit advocate here, you don't need a large set of skills. You can determine early on in your career. You can BS your way
through a lot of stuff.
No, I'm saying you can, like, let's say you're not good with people. You're not good as a leader. You can determine that early on and say like, hey, I don't like dealing with people. I would much rather just deal with this environmental stuff. Or I'd much rather just deal with IH. Or I'd much rather just deal with making sure that everything on the DOT side is set up. And that can be a DOT. Career for you. Like,
or MSHA.
People can make that their job. Like, that's jobs for companies. People have DOT people.
They have DOT
specifically
people.
Specifically, that is all you do is DOT.
Yeah, you handle all the certificates.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that when I got into safety. I thought, because I at safety department there, that guy, our people handled all of that. There was not a separate person for each thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's companies where that is a possibility for you.
Or some, yeah, you can be a catch-all. And that's, you know, one of the things that some people like. They like to be, we call a generalist. I know a lot about a lot of different topics.
I like to be a minimalist.
if you say so. Or you can specialize, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I know some people that are just know everything about confined spaces. Or I know guys that know if you have like environmental, that's always a weakness for a lot of people. Oh, man, I have an environmental guy.
Yep.
This is the person
I love having an environmental person.
Yeah. You know, it just makes your life a lot easier if you just go to that person. And some companies do that, you know, especially if I know one of the companies that we have, and I say environmental as in total environmental. I'm not talking about just the actual environment, but, you know, also like animals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's a company that does, audits. I'm not exactly sure. They do
surveys?
Audits. Survey. I think that's probably the proper word. They do surveys out in the field for endangered animals.
Yep.
They have a safety person. You don't have to know a lot about actual safety. You can probably just be a person who was really interested in animals and biologies and all this other. They're all biologists. And you're like, you know what? I'm looking for something more. You can come become a safety person for them. Right? Because they're going to go out, there's snakes, there's heat, there's cold, there's a bunch of different stuff in there. How do you manage that? Mm-hmm. Completely different, right? So you can go from, let's say, being a safety person at a gas station, I'm sorry.
I don't know if a gas station is going to have a safety person.
Let
me know.
I was thinking in my mind a company, but a grocery store, they do have a general safety person over a grocery store. You can go from that into, you know, a biology. Right. And those skills transfer. Going from oil and gas into groceries would be way different. Into, you know, many of the other fields. There's a lot of different places that need safety people.
I don't think a lot of people understand how, like, people always think safety for, at least around here, safety is construction, or safety for us is oil and gas.
Well, I think it's because that's the majority of what the work is. That's what
the majority of the work is here. But there's safety in tons
everywhere,
of industries.
Manufacturing and mining and this. And aerospace, the list just goes on. Yeah. So don't limit yourself into thinking that safety is only one thing. Again, I think it was great advice is that look around. There's a lot of places that you can go with whatever specialty you decide. You know, industrial hygiene is a great one. Environmental. Regulation. I know they have specific ones just for regulation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're like, man, I love the law and I love learning how to build this stuff. I've seen companies just have regulatory people. Yep. You don't do anything but deal with all the, I'm not going to say
regulatory compliance.
Yeah. We had that guest on, he would work for the county, you know, talking about all those regulatory companies or regulatory bodies. You just deal with them. Hey, they're going to come in, they're going to do inspections. Hey, these are our logs. This is what we got. Waste management, hazardous materials. There's safety people for everything, for cities, right? Risk. I know that's a big one for a lot of companies. I remember you talking about this before. It's like you didn't deal with risk. You had a risk manager.
Workers' compensation guy.
He would go for just workers' comp. Mm-hmm. That's another one. There's a lot of work out there. And if you want to specialize in that, and there's always that ability.
Just know that that's there.
Yeah. There's always that ability to change. That's That's what I learned when I first got in. And again, this came into when I started going to school. That's when I saw the real width of, like, wow, you can really take this anywhere. You know, especially when I started traveling from like a cheese factory, I'm like, I didn't know they needed safety people. Mm-hmm. I didn't know these people needed safety. Roads, bridges. I'm like, what? Yeah, there's a safety person over roads. You know, these companies that build the streets, build the freeways, they have a safety person.
For sure.
So, yeah. And that's, again, I tell people the reason why I like safety, first of all, it's almost, and I say almost, because, you know, the oil fields go up and down, but it's almost economic proof. Right, it's like nursing, where there's always going to be a need for a safety person. Not everywhere, but there's always going to need to be a safety person, because some companies see the risk and like, well, I don't feel like I want to throw $500 million plus to both regulatory fines and lawsuits. I want to rather just pay somebody this much amount of money to protect that side of the business. Mm-hmm. And we can go into the whole culture, but I know a lot of mom and pops don't recognize that early on enough. Some do, you know, some of the consulting companies that I work with are mom and pop. They recognize, hey, safety is a huge liability, especially in our industry. If we have an injury, it'll shut our doors. Some of the other companies are like, safety, yeah, I'll do it myself. And that's okay. But, you know, you have to reckon with the fact that, okay, are you a safety person or are you just a business owner? And mm-hmm. I'll give you the kudos, because you're like, okay, well, rather than hiring somebody, I'm just going to learn it myself. Okay, but how dedicated are you to that? And then when something hits the fan, how are you going to handle that, right? It's a special set of skills. Yeah, you could learn it. But, I mean, how much time are you wasting trying to learn all of that versus hiring somebody? So mom pops are great places to start. That's a great way to start. And then when hopefully you guys start going to school, you know, I know Matt doesn't believe in it, even though he does, because he's going to school.
I didn't say I don't believe in it.
He says it's like the tooth fairy. He doesn't believe in the tooth fairy, which is also a huge lie. Because if tooth fairy does exist, if you've seen, it's actually the Rock. get your associates. Go for your associates. I know education can be hard and challenging. We all have, you know, families and we have full work schedules. And oftentimes people kind of just put it to the wayside. But, you know, you can easily get a degree in your spare time. You know, there's very few people out there that work, you know, 20 hours a day and all these other things. You can easily make time. If it's one class, you know, a semester, so be it. You know, just if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, crawl, right? Yep. As long as you're moving forward.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be a degree. Go for, you know, some of your safety certs, CHST, OHST, STS, you know, just even if it's just something basic. Some people are like, well, I know it's just the STS. So what? Who cares? You're getting something, right? You have something behind your name that you can be proud of. Like, yeah, I got an STS. Cool. You know, I don't frown on people that have STSs.
No.
I mean, if you've been in safety for 30 years and you have an STS, okay, I'd be like, why do you have it? I've had that. You never thought about any growth or...
I mean, need it.
Yeah.
Some people. One last thing. Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
I'll just say one. I liked what you were talking about right now. One last thing I wanted to say, just my own personal experience with school, was that it's like you said, like, well, I was always making excuses of why I didn't go to school, which is part of the reason.
Well, yeah, like
I didn't
you said, that people would tell you don't need to go to school. I mean, you're at the top already.
That's definitely part of it. Yeah. But also, like, when I decided to do it, I just did what you said. Like, I took one or two class semester. Yeah, it sucks. I've been in school since 2017. I'm barely going to graduate with my associates this year. So
congratulations.
It's almost going to take me 5 years to get my associates.
Better late than never.
But at least I'm doing it right. I'm taking one or two classes a semester.
Now you finally have that piece of paper.
And I'm finally, I mean, now it's going to get a lot harder after this year to go finish my bachelor's. But because for sure that's the actual goal, is not to get the associates, to get the bachelor's.
Of course. And I tell people all the time, we're not all the same. We can't judge ourselves by others. Some people have tons of time. Some people have nothing but time to sit down and study and study and take 16 classes and do this and do that. And some people are like, well, this person's going way faster than me. I'm like, well, that's for them, right? Mm-hmm. That's not you. If that's all you can do is one class, so be it. You know, if you have challenges, come talk to us. We'll cheer you on. I know I will. I tell people all the time, you should go get a degree. Even people that aren't even into safety, I tell them, go to school. Well, why? Statistically, you're going to make more money. I mean, not saying that you couldn't make a lot of money without a degree.
Yeah.
100%. It just makes you more versatile. Since when in the entire existence of the world has more knowledge been detrimental? I mean, don't get me wrong.
There's times.
Well, no, I mean, we can talk about how people have degrees and they don't know anything, right? We talk about that in a lot of the classes that I was in the beginning, was that people have these degrees and like, what'd you learn? Nothing. So you spent $30,000-$40,000 on a bachelor's degree and you didn't take anything out of it? You didn't learn anything about yourself? You didn't learn anything about what you're trying to do? No, I just did the classes. Okay, so you just waste. I mean, it was a waste.
Yeah.
But it's like everything. You could have safety people like that that go into a business and, you know, oh man, I've been here 5 years. What do you know? Not a damn thing. You know, and we've met people like that. Like, wow, you've been here 5 years and you don't know the basics of your job? You don't know the basics of who you work with? No, I just show up. I mean, if that's your life, that's fine. But I always promote people to try to reach for the stars, you know? Go for the next goal. So you pass one goal, go for the next one. It doesn't have to be a degree, but I know coming up here in the next, at least what I've seen is there's going to be a higher demand for people with degrees, especially if you want to get on like a decent company. I can't explain for all, but for the more financially stable companies, a lot of them are going to require it, you know, especially when you get into ISO and all these other stuff. Publicly traded companies, you're not going to get in one of those without a degree.
That's weird because I've worked for two of them and I don't have a degree.
You know what, man? Your mom.
One last thing I wanted to say is because I see this post a lot is like people say, hey, I want to get a safety degree. Where do I go? And everybody says CSU or they say.
I know I do.
There's a lot of like really good. And not to knock on CSU or anything, right? It's a super good company. You're going to knock out that degree really fast.
It'd be a university, sir.
Sorry.
No, it's the same.
University.
It's still, it's still four years.
It's not the cheapest option, right? You might have to take out loans and stuff. It's not super expensive like
it's definitely not like
just saying like those aren't your only options, right?
Yeah, of course, there's plenty.
Like me, I'm going to a community college, which isn't cool, right? It's kind of lame for a lot of people.
I like how you bash on you like on your own education.
I pay $37 a credit. Like
I would love to pay that. So cheap.
And
yes, I know where you're going.
I'm
with
just
this.
Saying like don't find an excuse that I can't afford it because I can't go to CSU.
Yes,
you can afford it. Go out there, look. And go talk to your community college, and I guarantee you're going to probably even get some grants or something if you look into it.
100%. And I do apologize if I've never said that here on the show, but when I talk to people, I always tell them, yes, CSU is your goal, but you do not start at the bachelor's level. My nephews tried that, and I told him, look, bachelor's level is a way higher. People think you're going from high school to a straight bachelor's degree is easy. No, it goes high school, associate, bachelor's in increasing order, then master's, then doctorate. It's a big step up. People don't realize it's twice the amount of work, twice the amount of difficulty, and so on, so on, so on. So when I see people jump from high school.
Twice the amount of money.
And
it's more expensive.
Yeah, way more expensive because, like you said, you're paying what,
I think it's like $38 a credit.
$38 a credit versus $300 a credit at CSU.
I was gonna say it's like $270 or something.
Well, I forgot. I'm at the master's, it's a little bit higher.
Whatever. It's a lot more.
It's a lot more, and you're gonna be paying. You're gonna be taking junior college classes at that price.
Exactly.
I tell people all the time: get your associates first. Go through, get your associates.
Get whatever you have your associates, at that cheap level.
Get that and then transfer it over because, you know, a lot of the classes after your associates won't count towards your bachelor's. You can't just keep going to community college and, you know, three word essays. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to count for the bachelor's level. Get your associates first at the lower level because, like you said, it's going to be cheaper.
Yep.
You know, then when you're ready for the bachelor's level, okay, I'm ready for the more harder challenge. That's when they're going to start asking you to do more complex things and they're going to ask you to be more proper in your language. You can't, you know, I had one of my colleagues went over one of their papers and one of my favorite ones is they use the personal. So they use I did this or I saw that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, in this format, you use the third person. You said this author. And so that's something that I've picked up over the many years is because I've written thousands of papers now. It's always third person. You never refer to yourself as I. It's this author because now it's an academic.
And you don't
paper.
Say you either.
You don't address the audience. So again, it's really good those are really good tips. Again, we're going to have more. We're going to have plenty, plenty more. Guys, get ready to listen. Again, we want to make that transition into the mid-level and get everybody ready to make more money. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's about saving people, getting smarter, and making more money and more responsibility. So, yeah.
Perfect. Stay tuned. Hit us up.
The culture of safety at gmail.com. Hit us up on Reddit. I'm hitting a lot of talking to a lot of people.
I just looked at the email right now and I I'm seeing like Reddit stuff come in. It's Reddit.
Yeah.
Go out there. The Popular Safety Guys on Instagram.
Populars.
Please, if you can, leave us a review on whatever it is whatever, that you listen Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, all that stuff helps us. And thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, you guys have a good one.